Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this episode, we talk to Hamish Fulton, who studied art at St Martin's in London in the 1960s, and over the years has been categorised as a conceptual artist, a land artist, a sculptor, and a photographer. But he describes himself as a walking artist. The interview was recorded in a busy and somewhat noisy sports hall at the BAMP Centre in November 2007.
My name is Hamish Fulton. I'm a walking artist from England, and I have been invited to the BAMP Centre to take part towards the end of the seven-week course, Art and Walking.
Something that we were talking about when we were out on the walk yesterday was the way in which you've been accepted or not accepted by various groups, whether they're walkers or people in the art world. Could you explore that a little bit more?
It's a very interesting area, because I suppose that the central point to discuss is what the different groups from different sections of the spectrum of walking and art think of as an interesting walk. So what is interesting for one person is completely boring and tedious for another person, and I think that that's probably the nub of the matter, really. So people that like footpath walking, trail walking, backpacking, camping and so on, if you then said to them that they're in a project and they're going to walk backwards for 10 kilometres, then they would say, well, that's a particularly stupid idea, I'm definitely not interested. So that's the walking community. If you go over into the art community and you say, now we're going to go on a one-month backpacking trip and we have to carry all of the food, a tent, fuel and so on for 1 month, they say, oh, it sounds like hard work, I'm not joining that, thank you. So you have these two really quite opposing opinions at the moment, because I suppose it's a matter of time, it's a matter of history, you know. The more people in art are walking, then I think that these kinds of ideas will start to be broken down, and people, you know, in the future could come together and have some understanding about, really, I suppose the next big point would be inventing or giving thought to new kinds of walks as opposed to so-called conventional walking. Now, I want to say that I'm not against conventional walking, so I want to mention that. It's not a criticism of it, it's just that I think that walking has a huge potential and that more kinds of walks can be developed. I think that's really very fundamentally important point.
You've been a walking artist for 40 years. Was it something that inspired you when you were, you know, a child, or was it, you know, you began to think about using walking as your art? I mean, was that something that started really early on at school, or what prompted you to get walking?
All the way through my life, from a child up to the time of being an art student in London, I was always interested in walking and camping, and nature, landscape and so on. But then being at St Martin's, the School of Art in London, then the idea of making art about something that I was interested in, what seemed a very powerful proposition, rather than struggling away making vague copies of other famous artists. You know, why not actually make art about something that I'm personally really interested in? And then of course, mid-60s in London, there was a lot of very interesting social, cultural upheaval, differences of opinions, rock groups coming in, questions of the Rolling Stones and the Church, whatever it may be, all of these sort of swirling possibilities, Yoko Ono, various people kind of presented London young students with big ideas to juggle with. Also, I can be dated as one of those people who went to the Beat Poetry Festival at the Royal Albert Hall in 1964, and that's a bit like Where Were You When Kennedy Was Shot. And so that use of words, rather than the sort of soul-destroying question of words and the English language and English literature, you know, suddenly words and literature and language came to life in a contemporary way. And then this all then would start to feed into a question, a big question, all at the same time, of the way that the industrial world has the most severe contempt for nature. Nature is absolutely something that should be, you know, we should all really be in the post-biological, or whatever the phrase is, era, and that nature, wilderness, rocks, mountains, there's just all this stuff in the way. We need it out the way, we need to get on with, you know, our kind of indoor life, completely inside the commercial goods, as they say. So a lot of these issues were kind of swirling around, and then of course there could be the question of contemporary art ideas mixed in with walking. So
what do you think would be the ways in which we could either get more people in the art world walking, or how could we bring on people who don't walk now and get them to discover walking through perhaps some of the new walks that you're suggesting, or the ideas that you think we should be exploring. Quite a lot of the audiences that we talk to are people who have quite set in how they go about walking. Yeah. And if we're talking to professionals who work in promoting walking already, they've got all bases covered, but what you're suggesting is they haven't. So what are the triggers to get more people walking and more people seeing walking as art?
I think that there can be these intermediary stages. You know, I think that theatrical situations and contemporary dance, it can also be positioned somewhere between pure walking and art walking, you know. So it's not a question of making walks that would always have to be out either in the English countryside or in the Rocky Mountains on trails and so on. I actually really think there's a huge future for city walking, inventive city walking, where people, one day they say that this kind of walking is rubbish, and someone says, well, it's a sunny day, we've got 4 hours, let's do this. So they do that, and suddenly then certain things about life and history in the city and so on may just all come together in their minds, and they may just at some moment become addicted to a walk. And I would say that one kind of walk to make in a major city is actually a circular walk. I don't mean one in an actual circle, but that you create a circuit which goes around certain interesting places. That doesn't necessarily mean going to monuments or points of history, but it could be that you break down sort of certain barriers of behaviour about what is thought of as normal. You know, we're always walking along this pavement. Well, why not try going that part of this route goes down an alleyway down a flight of stairs, up another flight of stairs, across a bridge. And so you could weave together, to say, an absurd kind of a route, which could be, in terms of relaxation and liberating the mind, could be quite relaxing.
Do you think that's something that, if our listeners are going to be people who work in promoting walking, how do you think they could embrace more, you know, artistic work in that?
Yeah, all of these things where something is thought to be stupid and absurd and a waste of time, and who do they think they are, and it's a trick and a con. You know, it's that we bring a lot of prejudice, and we bring our own kind of requirements to something, and so part of it must be to try this with an open mind, and I really believe that certain walks people would find them really liberating and interesting, and not so absurd as that it might have appeared at the outset.
Yeah. Now, the other day you encouraged us to walk around just one city block, but the majority of your work is endurance walking, which would probably put an awful lot of people off, because they say, oh, there's no way I could walk for a couple of days, let alone go for a 7-day or a 21-day trek and then do that over and over again. So do you see yourself now, looking back, do you think that you were always a sort of endurance walker? You always wanted to walk for great long times? Or
I'm not a great endurance walker, and I'm also not a fast walker. You know, I think of my abilities as being completely sort of average, but that I have given a lot of time to developing it, even though my abilities are average. I think it's more to do with being really curious about what different kinds of walks can be made, you know, a range of walks. I think that some people, they will always be going out walking with a dog, or they'll always be walking from their home to the station, and other people always be walking on certain backpacking trails. And so if you can break those habits down or change those a bit and offer other kinds of walks, other permutations and the whole spectrum of walks, it's a huge kind of future for making inventive walks, you know, being inventive.
Is there a walk that you can pick out of all the walks that you've done, one that you will often return to? Is there, or a type of walk that you always return to, or is there something that you can offer listeners as an example of a really good walk that they should try?
The first part of the question, I think repeating walks, you know, I find that can be really interesting, because if you say to somebody, a group of people, we're going to do this exact same walk, I've done this with students in different countries, we're going to do exactly this walk every day for 2 weeks, the same walk, then the normal average person would go, oh no, how...
And these are people without a dog.
These are
dog walkers might say they do the same route every day.
Yeah, it's true, very true, yeah. So the idea of repetition is a sort of a threat. At the top of the list, it would be boring, you know, because somebody would say, I prefer to do a different walk every day, or I don't like doing the same thing all the time. I like to vary the route. Why always be, you know, making the same one? But if you pay attention to making the same walk every day, because that means that economically and in terms of convenience, you could do that. You could come out of your house and you could make an inventive route And then you could repeat that many times. And then if you are thinking about it, or you're actually getting into this way of thinking, then you start to notice different things that if somebody was just to describe that, then you really what they would imagine would be that you would not concentrate on looking or thinking about what's around you, and that you'd just be worried about your tax bill as you walk around the whole time. And so you're not really there. Your legs are moving, but you're actually not in this place, you know. So to change that habit, you know, if you make a ridiculous route, that's to say not one that's thought of as being reasonable or sensible, that you go around a corner and then you go round in England around a roundabout four times and then you go off to the left, so that when you invent something like that in the middle of a walk, which is absurd and ridiculous, then it starts to erode your idea of what is a normal walk, and also of course normal behaviour, but the whole thing is made by walking. So it's very basic and very simple.
And is that something that you would recommend that one did alone, or you did it in a group, or you did it in silence?
Yeah, I would say all of them, but you have to sort of identify them and see them. You know, so if you make a group walk and you have 15 friends and you're all walking around on this route, which is thought of at the beginning as absurd, and everybody's talking, then that's one experience, and you do that absent-mindedly 10 times, and then you come to the 11th time, and now the rule is no talking, then on that 11th time with no talking, you will really see everything in a really quite seriously different way, and the relationship to other people, and other people walking on the pavements will have a relationship to you, and it's all walking, not part of it in a car, part of it on a bike.
Okay, 5 years from now, what changes would you like to see, or what vision would you like to see achieved within 5 years?
I would say, because now half the world is living in cities, I would definitely think that there must be a huge future in creating walking routes in cities so that they become habitual, so that you just do this every day, every other day, many times on the weekend, so that this becomes part of your life. I can just sort of see in different countries when I'm walking around how, for instance, in Spain, you know, sort of car-bound mentality. In the last few years making walks in Spain, now I've seen that local councils have made walk routes that go from a part of a town or a part of a village out for 2 kilometres and come back, and I've seen these, and you see a lot of people walking on these now, so that is a change. But the thing with a walking route is that you don't need to build anything. There's no money needing to be spent on building. It's just that the money is spent on the route, or documenting the route, so that people know that this is one idea for a route.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities. In this episode, you've heard from Hamish Fulton. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Please follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes at talkingwalking.net.